And our final speaker is David Johnson, who's a director at Deloitte's Customer Strategy Practice. He helps wealth and retail financial services organisations transform their ability to understand their customers' intentions and design innovative ways to deliver mutually successful outcomes. He's worked extensively on innovation, business transformation and operating model design initiatives for the Big Four banks, industry funds and insurers. David's background includes executive level leadership and internal consulting roles in financial services and public sector organisations, managing teams delivering services in business process improvement, organisation design, change management, strategic sourcing and performance measurement. Prior to joining Deloitte, David also worked with Australia's financial services regulator and at an online insurance brokerage. Please welcome David Johnson.
Thank you, and thanks for the introduction and opportunity to speak here today. The team that we run is, as Emma said, looking at how do we create these service offerings and do this in a way that puts the customer at the centre of what we design. So we pull together a team of behavioural economists, psychologists, traditional strategists and data scientists. But the thing I want to touch on mostly today is that increasingly the data science that we've been reaching into is from our actuarial colleagues and some of the ways in which we do that. The things that we're going through in this work is increasingly finding that customers are irrational and we need to design for that and account for that in the solutions we offer them, but also how we price these solutions and deliver them to our customers. Customers are by their very nature also somewhat transient, changing, and their needs differ over time. So how can we account for that? How can we build that in? The good news is that in some of the research that we've been doing recently is that the more we interact with our customers, the greater the trust they have in the financial institutions. So we're designing more and more solutions that are accounting for ongoing interactions. So in financial advice, it's not point-in-time advice that's really getting us through. It's the ongoing interactions that we have over time. So this is another factor that we've got to build into the solution design. How can we have ongoing interactions? Yes, it is going to increase the cost of these solutions, but if we do it right, it can also deliver a solution that is more engaging for the customers, but also helps us understand them more deeply, deliver more personalised solutions, and solutions that also, over time, get more traction with a greater base, increases the lifetime value. So these are the kinds of things that we're building into the designs, but that comes with great implications and great requirements for the way we structure our teams. And I suppose my invitation is the more we have actuaries embedded in solution design, coming with our ethnographic researchers out into the field and sitting in people's homes and understanding what some of these key drivers are for the solution for them, the more successful we're going to build our solutions and our models that support them. I said up front, one of the key things that we're focusing on is the irrationality of customers. And if you're familiar with behavioural economics, Dan Ariely's coined this term predictably irrational, which is actually very beneficial to our solution designs. What we can figure out is the ways in which customers are intending to do something, whether it's saving for their retirement, whether it's planning to save up for a holiday, lots of different things that they intend to do, but actually don't. And there's a lot of reasons for this, and the research that we do is at the heart of trying to uncover what are the drivers for this. A super fund we were working with a few years ago gave us this challenge of how do we increase engagement with our customers? How is it that we can reduce churn, which increases our lifetime value, and we can see the economic benefit of this? Well, what's going to be the underlying driver for it? By spending the time going out and sitting in customers' homes, talking to them, understanding the context around some of these challenges, and I have absolute empathy for what you're talking about, Helen, there, it can be really difficult at times listening to the stories of the lives that they've gone through to try and come to this particular point. But it's really beneficial because it helps you break some conventional wisdoms and really get to the heart of what's going to make them change an existing behaviour which is detrimental to them. Because the solutions that we want isn't just giving a customer what they're after. It's trying to get a solution that is good for them over the short, medium and long term, taking in the array of needs that they have. But it's also got to be profitable at the same time as well. So how can you get under the cover of all of the different motivations they have and the intention that they're trying to fulfill, the triggers for them to change a certain behaviour, and if we can design for those in a way that's going to give them a very fulfilling product or service, how can we understand the array of decisions along the way which are going to change the profitability of that product to deliver? And that for us is why we're increasingly taking our actuaries out in the field with us to go through these conversations and start trying to unpick with clients what are the things that are changing, what are these motivational triggers that give us an open mind to do something different. And that something different with this super fund was everything from understanding what moments they had, which when I'm going along in life and I've got this plan to save up for retirement, I'm going to save for this holiday here, and I've got all these wonderful, quite rational plans, but then it's been a very long day and there's been a lot of people talking and someone offers me a few espresso martinis over here and I'm going to go and blow that cash on something that wasn't in my economic plan. So how can we design solutions just to think about the rational things at the right point in time? But that's a really easy example and a really simple solution. There's lots of other ones that we know a lot about as well. So these life events that we go through, and it could be as simple as I'm changing job and the economic rational thing to do would be to take my super fund with me, consolidate my funds, but most people just don't think about that. We don't have the familiarity with what to do. We don't have the social proof of knowing what everyone else has done. It's just, it's too difficult, so therefore we don't. Fortunately, we're getting more and more designs in for making it really simple to roll over once you do realise you've got two funds, but how can we make that a norm that people think about the fact that as I change jobs, I can take my old fund with me, or I can consider my circumstances as I move? Again, that's a fairly simple and commonly known one. The work that we're trying to do is try and figure out if we start with the customer's intention up front, then we can think about the broad range of solution that's going to help them get to that outcome most effectively. But also from a very personalised perspective, why is that different for everyone? With this particular fund we're working with, what we found was that there was a whole lot of preconceptions about customer segments that we built into very beautiful models that said this segment's going to behave broadly this way, this segment's going to behave broadly that way, and these segments were based on age demographics and FUM levels, so on and so forth, and they were completely wrong. I remember sitting in the home of a lovely lady who was above 60 in Blacktown, and you may be starting to form some preconceptions of your own. Except for she was also an engineer who'd spent her life flying around diamond mines with these particular technologies that she had. She had her cold fusion powered computer that she built herself over here, and her comment to us was, unless you give me a solution that's on my mobile device, I'm not going to use it, because everything else I do, my banking's on here, all my communications are on here, everything's on here, so don't send me another paper thing, don't send me anything else, it's got to be on here. So we started breaking down the segments of these customers and looking at actual data on electronic behaviour or channel use behaviour, looking at indicators of behaviour based on a whole range of other factors that we actually did have access to once we got under the hood of what the fund's data profile was. And that was able to get us a much more detailed profiling of likelihood to behave in certain ways, and therefore the right solution designs based on a much more granular and personalised solution offering. It's possible. Was it necessarily possible for our ethnographic researchers, customer researchers and the like? No, but when we got our actuaries involved as well, there was a really good harmonious production of output and activity there. Now, that kind of thing's becoming much more relevant for us and used much more often because customers change their need sets fairly often. It only takes one life event like we've heard about today, and all of a sudden my perspective on the world, my worldview, my risk profile all changes. I might be a Henry, high-earning, not-rich-yet kind of profile out there going for life. I love my skydiving. I do all these kinds of things, and I spend wildly on chasing adventures. But then a family member has an event. It might be a relative family member who has some kind of health incident, and all of a sudden my risk profile, my perception on the world changes. We need to account for that in our solution designs in two ways. One, recognising that people will change their profile over time, but also that we need some way of tapping into that. The thing I mentioned before, the research we've been doing as a firm, looking at what drives customer trust in financial institutions. The major thing that we found out of all of these factors we were researching was the number of interactions you have with your financial institution. The more times I engage with you, the more I trust you. There's many things we were looking at, but that was the one that stuck out most to us. So now what we're doing with a lot of our clients is designing these solutions that actually try and provide more fun ways for customers to interact on an ongoing basis to help us identify some of these life events that can be indicative of a change in behaviour and a change in preference in my product or solution offering. If we do that, then we can actually forecast far more accurately what people are going to do, the kinds of decisions they're going to make on their products and services, and the kinds of needs they have of us, and allows a much more personalised offering. So that's something we're pursuing in a lot of detail at the moment, and is helping us to drive more trust, more contact, more interaction, and better financial modelling of likely outcomes with our clients. But that only happens when we bring together these range of different skill sets together to try and work together to understand our customers more effectively. So that's everyone from our behavioural designers and economists, our customer researchers, our traditional strategists working in tandem through a solution design with our actuaries. So that's my ask of all of you to keep working more effectively together and trying to find these ways to invent agile models, because none of these things are simple, fixed point-in-time solutions. It's finding these key levers of drivers of behaviour and then designing the models that we use for product design, but also for monitoring implementation to be active, ongoing tools throughout the solution design and management that we have with our products. So I'll hold with that and look forward to discussing further.